Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we celebrate this solemnity of the Epiphany. And as we look at these three wise men, the Magi, they were just driven with a desire to gaze upon the face of your only beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So give us that same passion. And even when we encounter obstacles, help us to believe that you will help us find a way to make our way to you and to make you known by the way we live our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So today we celebrate the Epiphany. It comes a little early because the calendar, with Christmas being on Saturday. So the Hispanics have this tradition of the bread of the kings. It's called Rosca de Reyes. And so I asked a lot of them as they were leaving Mass just an hour or so ago, do you have your Rosca de Reyes? And I forgot because it came early. And then they usually sell it at SARS, but I didn't see it this year there in the store. So I think they forgot too. So I guess you have to make your own. But when we were in Mexico, when I was learning Spanish, you know, they had that celebration and you had to cut. And if you cut the baby, you have to give a party on the presentation. So I was just praying, oh, Lord, please, I don't want to cut the baby because I don't have any money and I don't want to throw a party. Well, we were with an optometrist. He was a seminarian, so he had a lot of money. He cut the baby and they made him pay and throw a party for them. So God is good. So just a few thoughts on the Epiphany this morning. Three things I'd like to share about how, and this is a new year, so we want to be more zealous and enthusiastic about our faith and thinking of the wise men, the three magi that came. You know, obviously they endured a lot to get to Jesus into the manger. And so, you know, we often have to go through a lot of things too, but this is some ways that I think we can draw insights from the scripture readings today to help us be more joyful and passionate about our faith in the upcoming year. So they had to make a journey. And the people who just want to sit back and have God do everything on their terms, it doesn't work like that. You know, that's why the Lord said, seek and you shall find. So we have to seek the Lord with a sincere heart and strive to desire to welcome him into our own lives and our hearts and get outside of our comfort zone. And whenever we go on a journey, you know, oftentimes you're exposed to different cultures, different situations, and there are a lot of unpredictables. And so you have to rely on grace and on God to guide you in that journey. And Pope Francis last year gave a wonderful homily on the occasion of the Epiphany. And here's one of the things he said about a journey. He says, before they could worship the child in Bethlehem, the Magi had to undertake a lengthy journey. Matthew tells us that in those days, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? A journey always involves a transformation, a change. After a journey, we are no longer the same. There is always something new about those who have made a journey. They have encountered new things, encountered new people and situations, and found inner strength amid the hardships and risks they met along the way. No one worships the Lord without first experiencing the interior growth that comes from embarking on a journey. So we are also on a journey, and you know, we have to push ourselves not to get comfortable and mediocre, and push ourselves to study the Word of God, to get more into our faith. So I ask you this year, do you have any plans to study anything particularly in your spiritual life, like a certain book in the Gospels or in the Bible, or to study a sacrament maybe, do a little study on the Eucharist and why that's so important to us as Catholics? There's so many wonderful resources now available to us, not by heady theologians, but by lay people even that are writing reflections about the Eucharist. Do we have that passion? Are we willing to get out of the boat, like Peter, you know, to walk to the Lord and leave our comfort zone? That's the only way we really grow in our faith, and I think that's what the Pope is trying to say here. So they had to seek this journey to find the Lord, and he provided splendidly for them through the star, which shows us that all creation is in alignment with God's plan of salvation. The star fell over stood over the stable there and led them. And so even creation is designed to lead us to God, our wonderful creator. The second thing is the joy of encounter and worship. When they found him, they prostrated themselves and adored him and opened their coffers of incense, gold, and myrrh. And so the joy of worship, and the same message that the Pope gave last year, he said, we really need to re-encounter that. The importance of worship, because we've lost sight of that. We're so busy doing all of our own little personal things and activities that we really have the joy of worship. And several months ago, I shared with you a Wednesday audience from Pope Benedict the 16th, right around Thanksgiving in 2006, where he's quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul is talking about if our worship is really dynamic and we really understand what we're doing and we're engaged, that if an unbeliever comes into church and sees us in worship, he'll fall to his knees and be cut to the heart, and the thoughts of God will be revealed to him. And this is what he said. And he talks about us calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know him by name and we can call upon him for help. This is our definition. We belong among those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we clearly understand how desirable it is that what Paul himself was hoping for when he wrote to the Corinthians should come to pass. If an unbeliever or an uninitiated enters while all are uttering prophecy, he will be taken to task by all and called to account by all, and the secret of his heart will be laid bare. Falling prostrate, he will worship God, crying out, "God is truly among you." Our liturgical encounter should be like this. A non-Christian who enters in one of our assemblies ought finally to be able to say, "God is truly with you." Let us pray to the Lord to be like this, in communion with Christ and communion among ourselves. Wouldn't it be beautiful if all of our liturgy was like that? And that passage reminded me of the Pentecost Vigil. There were people here who weren't Catholic, and we had a very extended time of me walking around with the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus and the monstrance for healing among the people in the pews. And one of the people there, a Lutheran woman who was here for that worship that night, had a profound healing and encounter with the Lord through the Eucharist. She wasn't even Catholic. And then even the praise and worship band who was here, they weren't Catholic, but they all genuflected when I walked by them with the monstrance and showed great respect and reverence, because they saw how people were engaged and they were focused on the Lord and they were praying earnestly for healing, for God's blessing in their life. And it was powerful. And so we want all of our Sunday Masses to be like that, where we're paying attention and Jesus is the focus point of our worship and not ourselves or what's for dinner tonight. Chili for me. I'm going to make some chili after this. But we don't want to be distracted when we come to Mass, right? And so Paul is praying for that everybody be so focused that if somebody comes in who's not a believer, they're like, "Wow, God is surely in this place because I'm experiencing something wonderful and supernatural that I've never experienced out in the world before." Don't we want our liturgies to be like that? Amen. And I'm convinced, you know, when it comes to our Protestant brothers and sisters talking about the importance of the Eucharist, it's not through argument and debate. It's when they see how it transforms our lives and that we really love the Lord and understand the importance of worship. The core of our worship is to give thanks to God, to be a grateful people for what Jesus did for us and save us from our sins. If we had more of that, I think a lot of that healing would come into Christianity, and they'd understand the beauty of the Eucharist. Amen. We pray for that this year. And then lastly, you know, they had their difficulties along the way. We have our difficulties as well. The church, you know, is always in need of renewal and reform. And it starts with each one of us. You know I can find all kinds of stories to tell you over the last 24 years as a priest, how disappointed I've been in certain things that have not happened in the church or have happened in the church, and it could go on and on. But the truth is, I've been a source of disappointment for others too. I'm flaky, I don't always follow through. I know one person emailed me for a confession, a very important confession. I missed it again. And then finally they were like the widows that kind of slapped the judge in the face. And did you get this email? And then finally I responded, but I thought, how embarrassing that I missed all those opportunities to reach out to someone. So we are all sinners and we're all in need of renewal and reform. And collectively that's the reality of the church. And so, you know, when your family's in trouble, do you abandon it and leave it? Is that your response when your family's in trouble? If you really love your family, don't you stick with it and try to bring healing and try to say, "Lord, what can I do to make this situation better," right? But sometimes people don't approach the church that way. They're nicer to the people at Starbucks or QFC than they are to the church and people in the church. I'm not sure why that happens. Maybe we just expect so much. But do we expect the same out of ourselves? You know, am I really firing my judgmental attitudes towards somebody else and failing to recognize how I let people down as well? So we're going to encounter difficulties in the church, and there are things that happen that are very scandalous and disappointing. Again, I won't lead you with stories of that. But God will always provide a way for a person with a sincere heart, who seeks him with a sincere heart. And sometimes in the most unique ways that we don't expect. But even today in the readings with the Magi, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod because he was phony. Oh, let me tell me where he is so I can worship him too, when he really wanted to kill him. And we have the whole slaughter of the innocents we celebrate on the 28th for that reality. So you know, God is going to give us the wisdom and guidance we need to maneuver through the disappointing experiences we have in life this year and every year of our lives. He's faithful. He will provide for us. But we just need to make sure we're taking the time in prayer to seek his guidance and wisdom to help us understand how to respond to the situations around us. And the readings today just affirm that he will make a way where there seems to be no way. I was listening to that this morning. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Amen? That's our story for the new year. So let's just pray that God bless this year and open our hearts to his goodness and love so that we can reveal that to the people around us. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we begin a new year and we celebrate the Epiphany for opening the door to salvation for all peoples, people of every race, language, and way of life. And so we ask you to break down any barriers in our own hearts and minds that would prevent us from revealing your love and goodness, the truth of the incarnation to the people around us. And we just pray for a special empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come down upon us this year to help us with any challenging situations we will face, to trust in you that you will make a way, for you are faithful. And may our lives never be governed by a spirit of fear, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things with great confidence through Christ our Lord.